Hello, welcome to MicroByte. My name is Gavin Clark, software editor for The Register.
And I'm Mary Jo Foley, editor of the All About Microsoft blog.
It's a new year, 2010, and it's 10 years since the appointment of Steve Ballmer as chief executive of Microsoft. That happened in January 2000. As the new year opens, some have speculated that this will be the year when Ballmer is actually finally unseated. We disagree with that particular viewpoint, but it's certainly going to be an uncertain year and an uncertain decade for the bullet-headed CEO of Microsoft. This show, we've decided to look at what's in store for Microsoft for the coming year, and we decided to push the boat out a little, make some big bet predictions for the coming decade in some hot button areas. Those areas being consumer and mobile, Windows and the cloud, and search and advertising. So our big bets for the decade: Windows Mobile. That's going to become like Google's Android. It's going to become the OS for more than just the phone. Another bet: Microsoft will field another operating system this decade, only it just won't be called Windows. And Microsoft will become the second largest search and internet advertising company behind Google. So, Mary Jo, Windows Mobile. Been a lot of talk about that, especially with the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas recently. The one big thing Microsoft didn't talk about was Windows Mobile 7. They want us to hold on to GSM World next month in Spain. What is the state of play on Windows Mobile? What do you reckon is going to happen this year and the decade? You're kind of big on this thesis that it's going to become like Android, more than just the OS for a phone.
Yeah, we'll see if I'm right. I mean, it's always risky making a 10-year prediction, but for the closer term, the near term, even that seems a little risky to make a prediction when it comes to Windows Mobile because of all the constant slips in the schedule, and they keep reorging the team and trying to figure things out. And it, you know, what looked like something that was definitely certain a year ago now looks all shaky. So, if I'm looking just at this year in 2010, I think it's a pretty safe bet to say we're going to see Windows Mobile 7 this calendar year. Mm-hmm. Even though recently there were some unconfirmed leaks that it was actually going to slip into 2011, which if that happens, they might as well just give up. Literally give up.
I've got to really question the strength of the articles that you're talking about because there were no sources quoted, and they seem so left field in terms of the majority of the coverage. Not that I want to rule it out, obviously, but it doesn't add up, I feel.
No. You know what I heard? Because I kicked around on it a little bit. Microsoft obviously wouldn't talk about it. They wouldn't confirm or deny anything because they're still trying to stay somewhat cagey about it, at least until Barcelona next month. But what I heard was the slippage rumors might be because some phone makers aren't going to be able to get their Windows Mobile 7 phones out this year. That comes back to the whole question, how much of a gap is there between the time Microsoft releases to manufacturing a new version of Windows Mobile and how long it takes a phone maker to get it on their phone? Some of that's Microsoft's fault. Some of that's the phone maker's fault. A lot of them want to do a lot of customization because they don't like the way Windows Mobile looks, and they want to make it look more like their own brand and have a different UI and all that. So if Microsoft RTMs Windows Mobile 7 late, there's a chance some of the phones could come out this year and some might not make it out this year. So that's my guess what we're hearing when we hear about slip. But in the longer term, as we're talking about looking ahead at the decade, what I think has to happen is Windows Mobile becomes more than just a phone operating system. And we're already seeing that with Android. And I think we're going to see it with Windows Mobile too, because a lot of people have forgotten, but there's been a Skunkworks project inside Microsoft headed up by a guy named Len Cawell, who's a former colleague of Ray Ozzie's. And Cawell was charged a little over a year ago with exploring the possibilities of bringing Windows Mobile to MIDS, mobile internet devices. Mm-hmm. And so there's been no real word about what's going on there. And, it's very political inside Microsoft if you want to have Windows on a device versus Windows Mobile and who should get that right and what it does in terms of the user experience, the customization and all that. But I think we're going to see that happen. I don't know if you think that's a good guesstimate or a theory, but it seems to me like it has to go that way almost.
I think it has to logically. It could and it should. And any company other than Microsoft or simpler than Microsoft might make that bet. But as you said, it's the politics that's going to get in the way of this thing, and it's going to be the it's going to be a question of who can lobby hard for this. Because often within Microsoft, you have people within different product groups who see things differently and don't want to. Essentially, in this particular case, won't want to put Windows on anything that's too small or too non-Intel based because they feel that it's going to stretch the company or it'll hurt the core business. So this, well, it's technically possible, and I've seen Rick Rashid was speaking about, I believe, was speaking about Windows Mobile and some of the mid stuff last year in Silicon Valley. He said it's possible, but he said it's possible, it can be done. What he didn't say was, and what we're saying here is, it's the politics that will hold that up, and I'm a firm believer of that. I mean, Microsoft's a very political organization.
It is. And you know that it's also about, as it always is, it's about money too. And Microsoft right now gets a lot more money per copy of Windows when it's installed on a machine or a device than it does for Windows Mobile. So, you know, like when we saw at CES those three new Slate machines that Ballmer demoed during his keynote. All of those were running Windows. None of those were running Windows Mobile. And so that tells you something right there. I'm sure some of those could have been running Windows Mobile technically. And as you said, there have been some public demos of Windows Mobile running on the ARM chip. But again, Microsoft's said publicly that there's no port of Windows to ARM. At least there's no official port. There was this thing rumored for a while called Long ARM, which was Longhorn ported to ARM. Wow, that's a mouthful. Longhorn ported to ARM. But you know, again, that's never surfaced if it ever did really exist. So it's definitely a mixture of politics, money, and just kind of positioning and messaging for them around what they're going to do there.
And as you mentioned, that mean they've you mentioned the devices demonstrated at CES were actually Windows 7. I mean, a lot of people got excited about these machines in the few days before Ballmer unveiled them. And it turned out they were just Windows 7 running the touch stuff. You know, significantly, it wasn't any of the existing Windows Mobile operating systems. And then that brings me on to the fact, well, Microsoft's already got a stable of Windows Mobile operating systems. It has, or it had, Windows CE. It has, or it had, Windows Embedded. It's kind of, in a way, it's got a lot of, well, it has got a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of choice, and yet the strategy is still confused. I believe that some of the things that have dogged the Windows Mobile strategy in the past, which is, you know, lack of clarity, unwillingness to detach itself mentally from the core PC business, will continue to bedevil it in this Windows space. Meanwhile, on the other side of the world, you've got Google with Android, who's not attached to any core business apart from search and advertising, and we feel very good, it seems, about putting Android on anything and everything, and more importantly, so will other people. And this is what comes down to the interest of the developer community. What are people excited about these days? When you've only got to look at Digg or TechMeme or Reddit, what's getting the developers really excited? It's all the news about and related to Android and also the iPhone. You don't see the level of interest in stories about Windows Mobile, which says that people are seeing, that's where people want to develop, and that's what's going to make these rivals more successful, say, than Windows Mobile in terms of getting on all these other platforms, because it's these guys who are interested in the platforms are going to put it on all these other devices. Are you all right?
Yeah, sorry about that. I have a little cold.
It's okay.
you know, I think you're right, Gavin, and I think it's going to be really telling if and when another device that we've seen little glimpses of, called the Courier tablet from Microsoft, ever does appear, and what that's running. Because when some of the marketing videos for Courier leaked late last year, and it looked like kind of a planner almost, like it was a dual screen kind of device where you could use digital ink, and a lot of people got really excited about it. But when I talked to people, some of my sources about it, they were saying it's running Windows. It's not running Windows Mobile. So, you know, when by the time that comes out, if it ever does, it'll be interesting to see and very telling to see what the operating system is in that thing.
I was interested to see that Robbie Back was speaking at CES. He did a financial analyst meeting, and he actually he's the point man on Windows Mobile at Microsoft, and yet he doesn't really seem to get it. He seems to want to talk about more about the Xbox the whole time in Zoom rather than Windows Mobile. And it was I was watching his presentation, reading the transcript notes afterwards. Essentially, he doesn't feel there's – this is important because he's the man directing strategy, theoretically. He doesn't feel there's a real problem in Windows Mobile. He doesn't feel that the business model is a problem. He thinks the only issue has been a failure to excite people outside the business market about Windows Mobile, and he feels it's a branding issue, and he feels the fact Microsoft launched this Windows Mobile campaign, especially in the US, that's going to resolve it. He said they'd already had some interest in Windows Mobile as a result, and to boot, he said they managed to do it on the cheap. They spent very little money doing it, is what he said. So, you know, it's branding on the cheap. So I think there's a kind of a band-aid strategy at work here, which is just put some branding on it and it'll be okay, which I feel is just kind of not really addressing some of the core problems that Microsoft's facing.
Yeah, it's hard to know what Robbie Bach really thinks. He's an interesting guy. He's really good at deflecting questions on things. And that actual event you're talking about, where he talked to financial analysts at CES, it was really interesting to hear. I listened to the webcast on that, and all the analysts want to talk about is Windows Mobile. I mean, they're all like, "Wow, this is your Achilles heel. This is where you're weak. You don't have a strategy." I mean, he can't really, really think they have a strategy. I mean, Wall Street is telling them, like, you guys are lost, you know. I think he's very good at deflecting things and like, hey, let's talk about the Xbox because we're selling a lot of Xboxes, you know. And let's not talk about Windows Mobile because we don't have a good thing to say right there about it. I mean, I was surprised he even acknowledged that they had any problems, you know. Like, he's just always been one to say, like, oh, everything's great. You guys will see. You'll learn. You'll see what our strategy is. I mean, Wall Street's not buying it, and customers aren't buying it either.
Yeah, it was a management strategy 101. Let's admit we've got a problem here. We'll be forgiven, and meanwhile, we can carry on with the strategy. Which is interesting because that leads us on talking of, you know, operating systems in general and other platforms. One of our speculative bids for the next year and for the next decade has been this is going to be the decade that after more than 30 years, Microsoft finally fields another OS, only it won't be called Windows.
Let me interrupt you.
No.
Okay, let's say maybe it will and maybe it won't be called Windows.
Well,
but I'm getting ahead of myself.
They will introduce another. Let's be bold. They will introduce it will introduce another operating system. May or may not be called Windows.
Yes.
For the sake of branding consistency, let's call it Windows, and that's probably what Microsoft will end up calling it. Although they do have a tendency to come out with some technology ideas that slip out, and they seem to escape the branding police at Microsoft, such as Silverlight and Surface Computing and things like that.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So we were talking about this. Initially, I know, MJ, you were thinking in terms of even though Windows 7 has just come out, this year at least, we're going to see early code for Windows 8. And also, we'll see early code for Internet Explorer 9, which is interesting. Do you want to explain that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I shouldn't say for sure we'll see it. I'm hoping we'll see it. And if you look at history as a guide, in the past, there have always been leaks of what are called milestone builds, which are internal builds, some of which are meant to go to OEMs and some aren't. But they tend to leak kind of early, and they're often not very polished. They don't have the new UI, but you start to get a good sense of how ambitious or not ambitious a version of Windows is going to be when you see those milestone builds. And you know, right now, Microsoft's kind of in the plan, still supposedly in the planning phase for Windows 8. That's what they say when you ask them about it. I think they must be a little past the planning phase at this point, since they RTM'd Windows 7 last summer. So, yeah, I think we're going to see, I think we might see, if we're lucky, some kind of a milestone build of Windows 8 leak out. IE9, I feel way more sure we're going to see something. I think we'll see like a CTP, a community technology preview, or some kind of a test build of IE9. I don't think we're going to see the final version of IE9 debut way ahead of Windows 8. I think they're going to debut pretty closely, just like IE8 and Windows 7 did. Yeah. But I think we're going to see more builds of IE that go out to a wider variety of testers, because I think Microsoft really knows there's so much unrest in the developer community around their lack of adherence to standards in the web space, that they really, really have to prove to these people they're making strong strides ahead, or people are just going to give up on the platform.
Well, there was the news, I think it was the first week of January, about how it's joined the SVG working group in the W3C, which is interesting because Microsoft has not been a member of that group, obviously. And it's pushing Silverlight as its display technology. So the trade-off between SVG and Silverlight would be interesting. You know, obviously one can join working groups and not do anything. I mean, Microsoft's been accused of doing that in the past.
Yeah.
So it's a question of, now it's a member of this working group, will it actually do anything, or will it just take notes and keep an eye on the competition?
Yeah, it will be interesting. But you know, in the longer term, that's where we get a little more iffy about Windows. Because I think after Windows 8, there'll be a Windows 9 and maybe even a Windows 10. Like, a lot of people think it's the end of Windows now. And you know, there's nothing more that's going to happen on a client operating system front for Microsoft, which I am hands down against. I don't think that's true at all. Go ahead. No, I was going to say, they've got too much wrapped up in Windows on the client.
Well, this brings us to the bigger bet for the decade. I mean, another operating system. I mean, you've only got to look at Windows 7 to say how broad the design delta has become. The main improvements in Windows 7 were all-round performance and speed, which essentially what it had to recover from Windows Vista. But if you're looking ahead, you're right. Where does Windows go from here? And Microsoft's pretty much at a crossroads with this or the next operating system. Does it slip into maintenance mode, where you just keep updating the OS? Or do you go into a radical new direction? I know at least when Longhorn was kind of unveiled or articulated by Bill Gates at PDC in 2003, he certainly tried to set the stakes high with that operating system, with the three pillars, and it was a bold bet that didn't work. It turned out you couldn't re-engineer from the ground up or from the top down, and you just had to deliver something that was safe. That's the kind of market Windows is in. So what happens next? And I know there's been stories about, you know, this is something you covered, MJ, was Midori, which was led by Eric Rudder, which is supposed to be a kind of an operating system for use in, let's say, kind of data center environments. It used a high-level application model that abstracted the details of physical machines and processors. The model was supposed to be consistent for use in both distributed and local concurrency layers. So essentially what you're talking about there is an operating system used in data centers or data farms that's running some kind of virtualized environment. And indeed, Midori was supposed to use Microsoft Technologies like Hyper-V. So I'm wondering, I mean, are we seeing elements of that already in the work that's going into the Azure fabric? But, you know, this being Microsoft, they've got a great habit of kicking out projects and then sort of boiling them down into the main product. So projects that could have become products actually get kind of subsumed back into Windows. Mm-hmm. And then Another idea that was kicking around was Gazelle, which was an interesting, it was a white paper study last year from Microsoft Research, and it's essentially designed to be a browser designed to improve security and rendering and performance caused by using Ajax in websites. And it used what was considered a pretty highly secure sandbox model, which was designed to ensure that sort of Ajax and Poison Script couldn't get through and get through to the hardware or to the operating system on your local PC. It was supposed to be very containerized browsing experience. It was, Microsoft at the time said it's a research project, but we're in a world now where people are talking about the operating system in the cloud, so, and also rich internet applications, and Gazelle potentially could fulfill that role, you know, a containerized piece of software that combines web browsing with the local computing capabilities on the desktop. The only problem with that was that I think Gazelle was actually slower than Internet 7, it's Explorer 7 rather. So that's pretty poor. There's a lot of work to do there. And finally, just to cap this off, Silverlight. You know, there's a lot of discussion, a lot of debate about where Silverlight is going. Right now, it's a display and interface technology, a plug-in for Internet Explorer, and also works with Firefox and some other browsers. But, you know, what I'm hearing, I think you're hearing too from inside Microsoft, is just how many more features do you pack into Silverlight to make it more like a bit like Gazelle, maybe something that combines online browsing and rich internet applications with the desktop. And, you know, Silverlight started out as a very thin portion of WPF from Microsoft Windows Presentation Foundation. You know, it's just a question of how much more of WPF does Microsoft decide to pack into Silverlight, so it becomes more than just a browser plugin and more like an interface and display technology that combines processing on the desktop with applications in the cloud, you know, due to Ray Ozzie's vision of services that use the local processing on the PC device.
Yeah, I think it's so hard to kind of sit back right now and guess what's going to happen in operating systems at Microsoft, because there's just too many things all moving really fast. You know, there's the whole idea about the cloud. Then there's, you know, how much of Windows goes to the cloud and what does that really look like? You know, does Silverlight end up becoming kind of more ubiquitous and replacing WPF? And then what does that mean? You know, so there's all these what ifs. But I think if I'm kind of like trying to break it down a little bit more and say what's likely to happen in the midterm, like, so maybe not in this year or next year, but something in the middle of the new decade, I'd say that we're going to definitely see something happen with Midori. Midori's in incubation, which means it may never emerge as a product, like you said. It may just be pieces that go, you know, pulled off here and pulled off there. But when they put all these big names on it, it's not just Eric Retter, but there's a lot of really high-profile operating system experts they've been hiring and staffing that team with. I mean, they're not just going to let them do nothing except do some, like, exploratory research. I mean, it's going to come to something.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the question always comes back to is, can they afford to just have a point where they say, okay, we're going to support two operating systems. There's going to be Windows, and then there's going to be this new and improved thing, which may or may not be called Windows. You know, can they afford to say to their install base, which is like a billion people, okay, we're not going to have compatibility anymore. So if you want to do the new thing, you now have to drop compatibility and go to product X. Or if they can find a way to just pull off pieces of what Midori is, you know, things like distributed computing technology or something that deals with multi-core processors or, you know, garbage collection, and somehow just fold those gradually into Windows. Because last year there was a rumor of another project codenamed Red Hawk that I wrote about. And so Red Hawk was supposed to be kind of like what the precursor was to Midori, that it was going to be some of these new operating system technologies coming from some of the people on the Midori team and the Windows team, that they were going to try to get into Windows 8. Again, we don't know, like, is that really going to happen? Is it too far away? Is it really going to be in Windows 9? There's just so many what ifs. I think the one safe bet is something's going to happen with Midori. It's going to affect Windows in some way, and we're going to have to wait and see what it is. Gazelle, you know, on the topic of Gazelle, I'm really, when I first heard about that, I was kind of like, oh, it's just a browser. It's like the next version of IE. But if now, like, as I've thought about it more and looked into it more, I'm almost thinking that Gazelle is Microsoft's answer to the Chrome OS. Mm-hmm. Because Gazelle, it started out its life inside of Microsoft Research as a thing called Mashup OS. It was actually seen as like something to do, having to do with operating systems more than just a browser. And I think if you look at what it is, it's something that looks like a browser to the consumer, but underneath there's a very thin layer of operating system technology that supports it, just like in Chrome, it's Linux. In Gazelle, it would be Windows, obviously. So I think we may see something more happen with that. But as we know, you know, Microsoft Research projects, you don't always know how they're going to show up either. Are they going to be a whole product that just becomes commercialized, or will pieces of it be kind of torn off and put into Windows Mobile or Windows or whatever? We don't know. So I think it's going to be a really interesting decade on operating systems at Microsoft. It's not just going to be Windows, 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 even if they call it Windows.
I think this comes back to the question of politics inside Microsoft. Where does it want to be? Where does it see itself going? And in some ways, it requires a brand new statement of direction that says, okay, Windows is, say, in maintenance mode. We're going to kind of keep updating it and supporting it, but we need, you know, if we need a new direction. And if it does that, maybe it kind of regains the initiative as being seen as an industry innovator, because right now it's a lot of people think it's lost that role of having the vision. It needs to regain the confidence to state a direction and then follow it. And whether that is to say, right, Windows is good, but it's gone as far as it can, or you know, and we need this new internet operating system, maybe, to excite people, to re-energize people. Talking of the internet, we were looking out ahead to the competition for marketing, for advertising dollars online, and for and clicks and market share amongst web surfers. And I think we agreed it's pretty much as safe as bets can be that Microsoft's going to increase its market share online with Bing. It's a question of how far it goes. I think there's probably a pretty good feeling that it will grow through the coming decades, you know, to become number two behind Google, especially as Yahoo has essentially given up, and all Microsoft has to do during the next 10 years is slowly fill the shoes that have been vacated by Yahoo. Now, that obviously predicates a few unknowns, unless there's a competitor out there who we don't know about, who kind of left fields Microsoft and upsets the competitive landscape. Maybe unless Google screws up strategically or takes a crucial misstep. So there's a bunch of unknowns, just to name two, that need to be factored into that as well. But, I mean, what do you think about that, MJ?
Yeah, I think that of all our predictions so far, this is the safest one, that Microsoft's going to be number two in search. Mm-hmm. if they're not, there's going to be hell to pay, because they're spending so much money and just pouring money hand over fist to try to gain market share with all kinds of deals and cashback promotions. And, you know, at CES, we heard that Microsoft and HP did a deal where Bing is going to be the default search engine on most HP PCs. You can bet that wasn't done for free. So another rumor we just heard recently was AOL's search business was up for bid, and that right now that business belongs to Google, but AOL will entertain all bidders. So again, that would be a lot of money for Microsoft to unseat AOL. It would be a lot of money for Microsoft to unseat Google from being AOL's search provider. But they're showing that they're willing to spend. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Yahoo's kind of drifting off to the side and losing market share each month, not really doing anything that Wall Street seems to think is that compelling on the search front. So I think we're pretty safe to say that's going to happen. But the question is how much of a distant number two are they going to be to Google?
Yeah. And the whole question, yeah, too, is, you know, is people talk about mobile search, but, you know, it's still an unproven market.
Yeah, and you know, both Microsoft and Google have been spending a lot in that space to make sure that ads can show up in different mobile platforms, and that their search engine will be preloaded on different mobile devices and all that. But again, it's like, can Microsoft really become a strong number two? Like, will they be able to be like, you know, 40% to 60%? Mm. Or is it going to be like they have 20% of the market and Google has 75%?
Yeah.
And that's a really big difference, depending which way that goes.
I mean, Microsoft has been trying to structure a completely different, well, a different search experience compared to Google. Theirs is basically more structured, it seems. More as you type in your queries, results come back in more of a structured kind of way. I've used Bing. It's still a long way behind in terms of relevance of answers, but the results you get back, they might be crap, but they're structured crap.
Now, there's a tagline, Bing, structured crap.
I can't see them using that in the ads.
No.
So it's interesting. I mean, it's something I wonder whether or how far Google is sitting there feeling complacent, or whether it's actually feels threatened about what Bing is doing. Whether it recognises there's a crisis of too much information in search results, and people require, you know, or you can help people by filtering those results more, or whether on the other hand whether the Bing model scales. How far can you give people prescribed categories of answers back? You know, how many algorithmic kind of frameworks and templates can you pack into a search engine that predict and estimate what people want? Does that model scale? Can it scale? Is chaos and leaving people do it to kind of work their way through a bunch of search results relevant or not the only way to go?
Right. Yeah. I mean, all of those are great questions. And, you know, both Google and Microsoft are doing things in some of the similar areas like visual search. They're both doing things. They're doing them in a very different way, but they're both approaching that as something they need to be very serious about, and, you know, that people are going to want to do more, just use images to search and look at their results in terms of images and not in terms of text. So it's interesting. You know, the other thing we didn't even talk about, but there's one thing that could unseat our whole theory here, is if the antitrust regulators don't approve the Microsoft and Yahoo partnership announced last year. If that happens, all bets are off, because Microsoft really needs that to go through, so that they take over providing search results for Yahoo. That's how they're going to get to the first milestone of 20%. I mean, if that doesn't happen, Yahoo stays in the picture and divides up the pie. And, you know, there is a chance that couldn't happen. I mean, Google's definitely agitating behind the scenes, and I'm sure other companies are too, to make sure it doesn't happen.
Microsoft needs the deal because it needs to prove the Bing algorithms, and without Yahoo, it can't build up the catalog of search results and search relevancy. I think what's going to be interesting to see during the next 10 years is going to be like you kind of alluded to, was visual search, also the search and alternative platforms, so not just mobile, but for example, search in games terminals, for example, like Xbox or PlayStation or Wii, searching on, you know, your TV. It's all these, you know, in some ways, search for through the PC, through your laptop, through your desktop or whatever. That is a big market that Google owns. The next growth area has to be these other platforms, which people don't have the answer yet to, and that's where Microsoft has the potential to grow. But can it? It's proven itself time and time again that it's a follower when it comes to innovation, and maybe it'll take somebody to pop up with some unique algorithms and search, say on the TV or on some other mobile device, and Microsoft has to buy them as it's bought its way into the whole search field.
Yeah, and you know, one place one part of the search market we haven't talked about, we've been talking about web search, but there's also enterprise search, you know, which is searching inside of a company for its own information. And there, Microsoft has a pretty strong story since they bought Fast. And, you know, I think that's another whole piece of the search equation, which right now doesn't figure when you're counting search results, but it does figure in terms of, you know, the kinds of technologies and research and innovation that you're doing, and at some point how that kind of search gets incorporated or doesn't into the bigger search picture.
absolutely. And that's going to be a battle that takes Microsoft against IBM, who's got quite a search presence in that field. And there's another company called Autonomy that likes to dominate this space as well. And there's also an open source competitive aspect to it too. So yeah, the enterprise search, totally different game to internet search. It's deeper, more relevant base, but hell, there's a lot of money in that market and a lot of high profile customers to be had. So with that in mind, the new decade, it's 10 years since Steve-O's been at the helm of Microsoft. What's the Steve Ballmer mood index like, looking like these days, MJ?
Good question. I would have said, if we were talking about right after CES, I would have asked for a new mood to be added to our index, which would be embarrassed. But we don't have that on our index. So I'd say he's all business and very serious going into his new decade.
Why do you think that?
I think he's got a lot on his plate. And you know, what's interesting about this decade when we start talking about Steve Ballmer is by the end of this decade, he's probably not going to be the CEO. And not because he's dumped, but because he has said he only intended to stay in the CEO role about 10 years from the last time he was asked that question, which was towards the end of the last decade. Yeah. So I'd say, you know, by the end of this new decade, we're going to see a new CEO at Microsoft. So this is his last 10 years to kind of prove himself and to prove he hasn't been crazy about some of these big bets he's made in things like search, like we were just talking about. So I think he's not in a real jubilant mode right now, nor is he in a chair throwing mode, but I think he's just trying to stay the course and make sure he goes out with a bang as far as his legacy goes.
I'm definitely going with all business. I think he's been all business for a while. There's a little bit of pressure coming off with Windows 7. I mean, everything we're hearing is that PC sales have picked up and that Windows 7 has been doing very well, but that's what you'd expect. I mean, partly because it's been such a lag, Vista was a bust, and there's such heavy, heavy price discounts on Windows 7. You have to wonder how much money Microsoft's actually really going to make on Windows 7. So the Q4 results, which will be announced, I think, later this month in January, are going to be fascinating.
Yeah.
It's a question of, you know, the clock really is ticking on Steve-O now. I've seen this before at other companies where they announce grand strategies and ambitions, and then after a while, the shareholders want to see some results. Now, the amount of money Steve-O's been chucking at some of this stuff is really embarrassing, and it's hurt the shareholders' profits. So if this stuff does fail to yield results, you know, it'll be goodbye, Steve. The question is timing and how. Is it, like you say, will he be given a kind of a graceful exit? Steve, you said you're going to do 10 years, your time's up, or is it going to be more kind of a coup d'etat, which gets rid of him, say, you know, in 2 to 3? I don't believe we'll see Ballmer out this year. It's way too soon, but I'd say those shareholders will be looking at maybe some kind of return on investment in, 3 years, 2 to 3 years, maybe a little bit further than that.
Yeah. I mean, he's been doing some things recently that Wall Street's liked, you know, all the layoffs and the cost cutting and all that. And they've been signaling pretty strongly that they're not done with that. So I think as long as he is willing to keep doing that, I think we're going to see the stock price maybe go up a little bit, which it's been stuck at around the 20s or lower for a while now. But right now they're in the 30 range. So you know, that may appease the shareholders a little bit. It's not creating great morale inside the company, obviously, but it's definitely kind of making Microsoft look a little more attractive to Wall Street.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see just how attractive he can make it. Well, MJ, that's about it for this show. Thanks again, everyone, for joining us. First show of the new year, and we took a little look ahead into the coming decade, which is always a risky proposition. My name's Gavin Clark, software editor for The Register.
And I'm Mary Jo Foley, editor of the All About Microsoft blog.
And this has been MicroByte, brought to you by the people who bite the hand that feeds IT.